If you are walking down the street with a boombox on your shoulder right now, listening to the Bryant Park Project, you've probably got a crowd around you that's broken into well-choreographed dance steps. What you've created is threatening to destroy the sidewalk with its rhythmic audacity and funky perspicacity. There's a guy on yonder corner tearing out the definition of party from his dictionary because it doesn't say this exact moment right now. Look, we don't want to stop you from electrifying the streets with your freakiness, but at some point, the people are going to want to hear some different tunes, some new music, but what's good? Luckily, Lizzie Goodman of Blender Magazine joins us now to answer that question. Hello, Lizzie.
Hey there.
Thank you for bringing your boombox with you.
Oh, no problem.
First up on the boombox, Coldplay. The new album is long, at least the title is, Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. Mm-hmm. Coldplay is kind of a middle-of-the-road band. Is this album good middle-of-the-road, meaning something for everyone, or bad middle-of-the-road, meaning dead armadillos?
I think it's a little bit something, maybe more something for everyone than previous Coldplay efforts. You know, they've kind of had this reputation as the most mocked band of their particular generation who continues to sell out stadiums and please people the world over somehow with their music. And I like, this is the first Coldplay album that I actually genuinely like a little bit, because I think that I don't feel this sort of resentment about how mainstream and kind of shiny and perfect it is. There's a lot of, it was produced by Brian Eno, there's a lot of kind of angsty, who are we, growing pains going on in the record. And I sort of appreciate that. It's like nice to see Coldplay kind of not just celebrating their perfectness all the time.
All
so,
right.
A little bit of something for everyone in
a
here.
A fine analysis. Let's see if it holds up when we listen to some of Coldplay's Violet Hill.
Was a long and dark December. From the rooftops I remember there was snow, white snow. Clearly I remember from the windows they were watching while we froze down below. When the future's architecture by a
So I know I could hear the Brian Eno. I mean, every other Coldplay mm-hmm. song starts off with the thumping piano, and then it would go into something nice. But for a second, there was the guitar.
Yeah, it's
and
a little rougher.
Eno for
yeah.
You. Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for the.
Thank you for this and all your accomplishments.
There has been a lot of talk, too much talk, about this album being something of a referendum. It's been maybe a referendum on a couple things. One is the recording label is EMI, sort of the most screwed up label out there. It was bought by this British millionaire who looked at the expense accounts and said, "You will no longer be able to expense cocaine," for instance. But he got into
the nerve.
He got into a lot of trouble. People are saying Coldplay is EMI's biggest band. Maybe strong sales will indicate that EMI has a future. Is it fair to look for Coldplay to do that for their label?
I know, right? Is Coldplay going to save the music industry? I mean, I don't know. No, it's not fair. Of course not. But nothing about that. This has always been true about the music industry, that there's a couple of key artists at any particular label, whether it's EMI or anywhere else, that sort of carry the rest of the artists that aren't really selling anything, because it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, you get in there and you don't really know what's going to appeal to people, and the bands that do therefore have to make most of the money, but they have most of the burden of keeping you know, the really high overhead of record label expenditures in check for all these other bands that aren't selling anything. So yeah, you know, woe is me, poor Coldplay. They have to support the entire music industry. But at the same time, you know, this has been happening forever. I don't think that paradigm is particularly new in this era.
There's another referendum aspect to this new Coldplay album. It was leaked a couple weeks ago, and there was mm-hmm. a big debate. Do leaks or bootlegs, you would think maybe the record for free instead of buying it, that could hurt sales. But there's actually plenty of evidence, like Lil Wayne's album leaked.
I was just going to say, I mean, he's really revolutionized. What's happening with Lil Wayne is kind of forced people to re-look at that argument, which seems obvious. Like, if you get the album for free, you're not going to pay for it. But it doesn't necessarily, it's not that cut and dry. Some people say that there's a sort of sense of, especially if what you leak is good, there's a sense of anticipation for hearing more of it or for having your own copy. And sort of, I personally still really fetishize the actual ownership of an album, whether it's on vinyl, you know, or even a CD. I mean, I like to own it.
And yeah, because every time I buy it on iTunes, like one out of three times it disappears somehow.
Yeah.
And it's always like my fault.
I know.
Well,
I
you
just
know, you didn't back it up three ways and put it on another
computer.
Or
you're not on an authorized computer and you need to I'm like,
sorry, you only have five authorized computers. Really, I have a CD. I could put it in any CD player.
We're going to need special therapists to help us deal with all the iTunes errors that hit us.
It makes
it's
you feel really
nice.
Bad about mismanaging your own digital
copyrights. It's like, you know, getting calls from a creditor or something. You're like, I'm sorry, I didn't authorize
the
right computer.
I know. It's always your fault. Give me the album. Shut up.
Yes.
Or not, maybe, in the case of Katy Perry, unless you like the new album, One of the Boys. You know, I guess she's confusing to some people. You know, is she annoying? Is she awesome? What do you think?
Awesome.
All right. And why?
Going with awesome. I really like her. I've been a fan for a while. I like her because I think, you know, too often there's sort of this line in the sand between what's popular and therefore that must suck because it's popular, and what's awesome but nobody hears it or cares about it, but that makes it awesome. You know, that sort of old school indie argument. And I don't really buy that. And I think it's nice to see somebody who is involved in her own image in a very direct way and is obviously very mainstream and is having a lot of mainstream success, but is genuinely kind of provocative and weird within that mainstream context, which I think she is. I do see her as a little bit of a sort of Madonna-like provocateur, and I applaud that.
Perhaps she will reinvent herself often again. her new song is I Kissed a Girl. This is not the Jill Sobule song.
No, and there's been some drama about that. There's been a lot of controversy about this song because, you know, it's a hit, and they're playing it's number one on Z100, and they're playing it all over America, and teenage girls in middle America are learning about making out with other girls, and it's scandalous. And
because they never heard of that or saw 4 million commercials for Girls Gone Wild on every TV, on every
E
channel.
Which is why it's kind of, I applaud Katy Perry for kind of owning that and not letting it be a boys only sort of thing. You know, it's good. It's
kissing
good.
Girls, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear Katy Perry sing I Kissed a Girl. This was never the way I planned, not my intention. I got so brave, drink in hand, lost my discretion. Well, there's no more Lilith Fair anymore, but if there was, they'd have to book her to headline.
That would improve Lilith Fair a lot. Yeah.
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 All right, let's move on to the Wolves. Wolf Parade at Mount Zoomer is the new album.
Yeah.
The last album had a good name, like, what was it, Apologies to the Queen Mary?
Something
They trashed the Queen Mary. Wolf Parade is this.
A lot to atone for, apparently.
There's a great quote I read somewhere about that, by the way. Wolf Parade said, Spencer said, we're not bad people, we're just not smart people. So here's the Wolf Parade, indie band from Montreal. Montreal is giving us a lot of interesting bands, like Arcade Fire, though interestingly, not of Montreal. There are two alpha wolves in the Wolf Parade. There's Spencer Krug and there's Dan Beckner. Between them, they have like 30 side projects, and so now this is Wolf Parade coming together again. Do those two, those two auteurs mesh with each other in this new album?
Yeah, they do, and I think that sort of push and pull between two really strong leaders, obviously, in the history of music, that's worked out well. And I think it's working out well for them because there's a lot of richness to this record. But what I really like about this band, and I've been sort of slow to come around to them because of exactly what you're talking about, with a sort of influx of Montreal bands, and every day some blog is telling you have to like a new one, and I just kind of sometimes I feel like there's too much weirdness being disguised as quality. Like if I play a weird instrument, then that will somehow make my music interesting.
Right. And if it's a suite, if there are 30 instruments, you know,
if it's like your kindergarten music closet and you're playing it, then all of a sudden you're really inventive.
It's what I call Glockenspiel cred.
There you go. Oh, I like that. I'm totally going to steal that. That's great. Exactly. So. But Wolf Parade, happily, are not falling in that category, even though they are weird, I guess you would say, and they do use a lot of sort of odd instruments. The songwriting at the heart of what they're doing is really strong. And if you took apart sort of the triangle or the xylophone or whatever, it would still be a really, really strong songwriting at the core. And I think that comes from the contrast between these two people just really having very different approaches and influences and kind of battling it out and coming out with this kind of inspired product as a result.
This is Language City from Wolf Parade.
Language City is a bad old place, we all know. Well, eyeballs float in space, we all know. We were tired.
That was Language City. That's Dan Beckner of the Wolf Parade. Not the Wolf Parade. Wolf Parade singing lead on that.
Yeah.
So Beckner is one of the two big forces. Mm-hmm. The other one is his pal Spencer Krug.
Yes.
Let's contrast. You want to hear a little Spencer Krug song? Okay, let's hear this. Call it a ritual. So what are the differences between the two, or is it more like a Lennon McCartney thing? One is poppy, one is a little more in your face.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I think that's sort of probably the most simple breakdown. But I don't know. Again, I think what works about this is that they're the ones who really know what's different about the two of them.
Yeah.
Like, what we hear is kind of a really successful emergence of their two styles. And I haven't found that it's all that easy to kind of break them down and say, oh, well, this is a George
song,
this
song,
is a
yeah.
I mean, maybe the sort of hardcore Wolf Paradeologists would disagree with me there. But what I like about, especially what I'm hearing on this record, is the emergence. I mean, it really feels like a cohesive sound, but it's a tumultuous sound. There's a lot going on within it, and you can tell that there are. It's not surprising after you hear that to realize that there's a couple of different people kind of battling it out with committed opinions in the studio.
One last band to get to, or a recording artist. Well, the band is My Brightest Diamond, and Shara Warden, who's a Sufjan Stevens pal, has come out with this new album called My Brightest Diamond. Are you a Sufjan fan?
Not so much, but I like this. I
a
like my brightest.
A little for you?
Yeah. A little
maybe,
too
you know,
much in that weirdness equals am I a performance artist or a rock star kind of problem that I have. But I get that he's talented. People who I respect very much enjoy him. So
that's so politic of you.
Thank you.
Or maybe, you know, he's only come out with a few states and he's going to do all 50. Maybe Wyoming and Hawaii will really
Those are
going
to be the ones that really get to me, I think. Yeah, Wyoming for sure. I'm waiting for Wyoming.
So tell me why Shara Warden's a good thing.
I really like, again, I mean, not to sort of make the same point over and over again, but this is one of those artists where you're like, is this going to be too odd for me? And I'm going to think there's really nothing listenable here, even though I get that it's sort of creative and weird. But I enjoy this music. It's very soothing and kind of introspective, and it's good for a rainy day.
Well, I want to do two things. The first is we want to cue up some of the music. This is My Brightest Diamond, Inside a Boy. And as we listen to that, I want to thank you, Lizzie Goodman, who is the editor-at-large of Blender Magazine.
Thank you.
All right, let's hear a little of this as we go out. And again, thanks. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
That is it for this hour of the BPP. We are always online at npr.org/Brian Park. I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Brian Park Project from NPR News.